Good morning, church. Shall we all arise and read a few verses of scripture together? Let's arise and read together. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalm 143 and verse 6. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35 verses 5 to 7. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for this morning hour, that we can come together as your church, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. You are our loving Heavenly Father, even as we sang, you are our good, good Father, who loves us with a love which is undying. And you have proven that love to us in giving us, sending your only begotten Son into this world. We thank you, blessed Lord, for you came, while we were yet sinners, you came and you shed your blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to give us the free gift of life eternal, including us in what you did on the cross, in your death, burial, resurrection, ascension and exaltation, raising us up, seating us with you. Indeed, you've drawn us out of the domain of darkness, brought us into your marvelous light. You set us free from captivity, from slavery to sin and Satan. You brought us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Oh Lord God, Lord God, we worship you. You alone are worthy of all praise. We thank you for you have raised us up and seated us with you. You indeed are seated far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, above every name that is named in this age, in the age to come. Thank you that we have died. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. You have made us heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Lord, we thank you, for you have imprinted our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, promised us that no one can snatch us out of your hands, for you have engraved us on the palms of your hands, and no one can pluck us out of your Father's hands, for you have given us eternal security. And you fight our battles. You are the Lord of hosts, the captain of the heavenly armies. You are the Lion of Judah, King of kings. You are Lord of lords. And you have come to dwell in us by your Spirit, made our bodies your temple, your treasure, instruments in your hands, weapons for your use. So here we are. We fall at your feet and we say, we love you. We worship you. We adore you. You alone are worthy of praise, worship, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We worship you. We adore you. Open our eyes, we pray. As we look into the pages of your word, open our eyes that we may perceive wonderful truths out of your holy law. And write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The Bible tells us that the Lord has promised to satisfy every longing soul. Psalm 107 verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So I repeat what I said earlier. My desire and prayer is that the Lord will pour out His Spirit upon each one of us, baptizing each one of us in the Holy Spirit, and that He would manifest His gifts through us, His church, His bride, so that we as Spirit-filled believers, filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, will bring glory and honor to Christ, the Bridegroom, who is coming soon to take us to be with Him forever. So after each one of these studies regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this is our fifth study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. After each one of these studies on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we are dwelling on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 8 to 10, the manifestations of the Spirit, we will have a time of prayer after each of these studies, when we as a church will ask the Lord to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, and we will also ask the Lord for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that we as His church will be fully equipped, empowered to do His will as His kings and priests here on earth. Now, we've already looked into the gifts of a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And today, we will look at the gift of discernings of spirits. The gift of discernings of spirits. Discernings of spirits is the third gift in the category of the gifts of revelation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 10 we read, to another is given discernings, it's plural in the original text, discernings of spirits. Now let's consider briefly the meaning of discernment. Defining discernment. The word discern may be defined as to recognize and distinguish between. While knowledge is the impartation of a fact, discernment is a form of direct perception. The result may be the same, but the means is different. Now, discernment can come in different ways. At times, it may come as a vision, where you actually see something that is not there in the natural. That is a vision. You see something that is not there in the natural. Now let's look at two very obvious examples of a vision like this in the scriptures. First, we find John the Baptizer. He saw the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus as a dove. Other people were also present there, but apparently they did not see. But John was given spiritual discernment. John chapter 1 verses 32 to 34. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Then we find in the book of Revelation, we see the Apostle John. He was granted a vision of three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. In Revelation chapter 16 verses 13 to 14, John is saying, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, there are people who see such visions. There are people who see evil spirits in the form of animals, such as foxes, mice, bats, snakes, frogs, Now, I've personally seen these spirits as ferocious animals, and for me it usually happens at night, and I end up rebuking the demons in my sleep. And that's why my wife uses heavy duty earplugs, because either I'm snoring or I'm casting out demons from somebody. Now, this is not to say that the animal itself is the evil spirit, no. But this is how it is revealed. Now, these are examples of people seeing clear visions of what is not there in the natural. It's not there in the natural, but they see it as a vision, like John saw it, like John the Baptizer saw it, like John the Apostle saw, as we read in Revelation. Now, many of the idols that are seen today are in the form of animals. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1, verses 21 to 23, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That word darkened is the darkness of evil. Professing to be wise, they became fools, because they were darkened, their hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 17, they sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Then the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrificed, they sacrificed to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. But now, discernment is not commonly given to believers through such visions. Discernment usually comes in the form of a person seeing what is there in the natural, but seeing it with the understanding of the Holy Spirit. I repeat, discernment usually comes in the form of a person seeing what is there in the natural, but seeing it with the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the ways in which I personally experience the gift of discernment. Sometimes the Lord shows me people or objects as they outwardly appear, but somehow I also see something significant about them. For example, let me relate to you something that happened in our church more than 15 years ago, and none of you probably were here, just a few. The older ones who know about this incident. This is about 15 years ago. We detected that money was being pilfered from the church offertory bag. And this happened for a few consecutive Sundays. And one Sunday, Brother Joy, he said, something terrible is happening. The money left in the bag, actually the money left in the bag was less than what he and Suma had put into the offertory. So we were all very upset and we were concerned about what had happened, and also not knowing who is this, who is the culprit, who is doing this. Now those were the days when we were traveling to Kodamangalam after the morning service here in Ernakulam. We would go there for the evening service in Kodamangalam. And so we started earnestly praying. And I was earnestly crying out to the Lord to show us who the person is, who the person concerned was. Now on the way back from Kodamangalam that Sunday, a car overtook us, and Varghese and I, we were in the Santro car, and this car, that the Santro car I think is right down there in the garage, it's an old rut-putt car. So Varghese and I were in that car, and this car overtook us and was right in front of us. And it wasn't moving as fast as it overtook us. But it kind of stalled in front of us. And I was wondering why that was happening. But on that rear window of the car was written the name of an institution in red capital letters. And as soon as I noticed this name of the institution, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me the person who had stolen the money, because that person was connected to that institution. And I was 100% sure who the person was, because the Holy Spirit had given the discernment. The car in front, as soon as I got this, as soon as it clicked, the car just sped away. But knowing who the person was, I could not confront the person because we had no physical evidence. And that person also left the church soon after this incident. And the money in the offertory bag came back as usual, every Sunday, to the normal amount that was usually counted. Discernment usually comes in the form of a person seeing what is there in the natural, but seeing it with the understanding of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, there is a way of seeing objects or seeing people that is not a vision, and yet enables you to see what is important to that problem or that situation. And so discernment is very useful. Very useful. Sometimes it is also rather frightening and at times almost embarrassing to know what you wish you don't, what you wish you did not know. And so we have to be prepared for this when we seek the gift. And we need to know how to handle it also. Now let's look at the importance of cultivating discernment. How do we cultivate discernment? Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 contains a very important fact about discernment. And this is also true in various aspects, various respects about all the gifts. This is true. They need to be cultivated. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, meaning mature, grown up. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see that there? Their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. Now, very rarely do believers begin operating in the gifts perfectly the first time. That's why these gifts need to be exercised. The first time you start speaking in tongues, you wonder what you're saying. A few words come out of your mouth, and then, but after this, after some time, as you continue speaking, what happens? It becomes very fluent. And after some time, it just becomes a language. I remember when I first started speaking in tongues, for days together, I would just speak in tongues. I would love to go for my car rides all alone, because, you know, I would just pray, worship inside the car. Even now that I do that, for hours together, in this new language, this gift of language, the prayer language, it's a love language between you and God. But initially, when these gifts are given, you wonder how you work it out. And you work it out by exercising the gift. The gifts have to be exercised by faith. So very rarely do believers begin operating in the gifts perfectly the first time, because the gifts have to be exercised by faith. And yet we can practice and we can come to perfection in our understanding and operation of the gifts. Now, some people are perfectionists. They will never do anything unless they know they can do it right the first time. I remember that was the motive for the ISO 9000 quality. Have you had that in your companies? ISO 9000 quality standards, yes. I remember when we had to have the ISO standard in the company I was working in, Noyen Connectors, as a development engineer at that time. And the company then became Framatome Connectors International. So we had to have international quality standards. And the motto was, do it, ISO 9000 motto was, do it right the first time. Do it right the first time. In other words, perfection right from the start. That was the goal. Now let me tell you, that caused so much of tension in relationships in the company. And I don't think that produced much of a difference in quality, because quality was, it was actually imposed on us. Quality must come from within, right? Not from without, not from outside, imposed. And so it created a lot of tensions, a lot of tension, a lot of relationship issues, a lot of problems. And finally we got the certificate. I think we just did it for the certificate. That's about all. Now if you find your husband or wife is a perfectionist, my advice to you will be, please handle with care. Because they're very fragile. They can crack up. So please be gentle. Be very loving. And when they see the love of God in you, the Lord will touch their hearts, and that will produce change, because only God's love can change us from within, from inside. Nothing else can. Now, why did I mention this? Because this is also a problem with many people concerning the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. They think that they have to get it all right the first time, and then from then on, perfect all the time. They forget 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So the perfect hasn't yet come. Right? So we still exercise the gifts. And we learn till the end. Now we see through a glass. One day we'll see face to face. The imperfect will become perfect. So the perfectionist thinks that if he cannot prophesy like Isaiah prophesies, then he will not prophesy at all. That's a problem. You see, these gifts need to be exercised. And when you exercise, you will always fall. Right? You will bruise yourself. You get hurt. But then you pick up and you move on again. You don't get it right always the first time or all the time. How do you know how Isaiah began prophesying? You don't know. By the way, New Testament prophecy is not the same as Old Testament prophecy. And we'll get to that when we study the gift of prophecy. But remember, the Bible says that discernment can be exercised. Discernment can be exercised. Hebrews chapter 5, 14 speaks about the necessity of exercising your senses to discern good and evil. Their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5, 14. So to continue on your Christian journey, always falling, all right, and not moving towards getting better and better. To continue on your Christian journey, always falling for every kind of trap Satan puts in your way, that is not to the glory of God. You must be able to discern between the sincere person and the hypocrite. And many of us fail. Many of us fail. We fail God by not exercising the discernment that God has made available to us. Now, let's look into the meaning of discerning of spirits. Meaning of discernings. It's plural there. Discernings of spirits. What does it mean? We talked about discernment, but what is the meaning of discernings of spirits? Let's consider some definitions in regard to the gift of discernings of spirits. First, we must understand that this gift does not refer only to discerning evil spirits. Because there are various classes of spirits that we encounter in the Christian life. There are various classes of spirits that we encounter in the Christian life. Number one, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God. Then, good angels. Then, human spirits. Every human being has his own spirit. Then, fallen, rebellious angels. Then there are also demons or evil spirits. Now we'll go through all of this from the scriptural perspective. As we mentioned earlier, the word discernings is in the plural. So this means that each discerning is an operation of the gift of discerning of spirits. Similarly, with gifts of healings, it's again in the plural. When he translated it, it's in the singular, not the plural. But in the original text, it's plural. Gifts of healings, workings of miracles. It's a double plural. Discernings of spirits. So each healing or each miracle is an operation of the gift. Now we also need to know that the gift of discerning of spirits is again operated under God's control. It's under God's control. We cannot do it at will. For example, if someone recognizes that you have the gift of discerning of spirits, and he or she comes up to you and says, "Brother, you have discernment. Please look into my eyes and tell me if I have a demon." It just doesn't work that way. This is not something that you can switch on and switch off at will. But if you are ministering and in the process you need knowledge, then God will give it to you. It's not something like an x-ray machine that you can just walk into the x-ray room and get your x-ray done anytime. It isn't like that. It is not under the control of human will. You can't will to do it. Although we have to be open, yes, we must be open to the gift or it will not come. It's not something that you decide. It's something that God gives, which you receive. Remember, it's a gift. And gifts are received, not earned. They're received. But you must be open to receive. Now let's look at manifestations of discernings of spirits in Scripture. And we will go through all of those different various classes of spirits that we encounter in the Christian life. We look at it from the scriptural perspective. Some examples of the gift of discernings of spirits in the New Testament, according to the different categories of spirits we just listed. Discerning, number one, discerning the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. We saw that. Now in our earlier studies, we saw how John the Baptizer was given discernment through a vision. He was given discernment through a vision. Now let's look further at what John said about that vision. Now, why was that vision given? The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." John 1 verse 29 and verse 31 to 33. So it's clear from the words of John the Baptizer that only he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. And the rest of the people there did not see the vision. It was a supernatural discernment that was given specifically to John because John needed it. And that's the way that he could identify clearly who the Messiah was. Then we see the Holy Spirit as tongues of fire. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was manifested to human senses in the form of tongues of fire. Acts chapter 2 verses 3 to 4. Then there appeared to them, meaning the followers of Jesus, divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. By the way, when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the scriptural evidence of speaking in tongues, what actually happens is the Holy Spirit will not do the speaking for you. Alright? The Holy Spirit will give you utterance. In other words, He will form the vocabulary. But you have to do the speaking. You have to do the speaking. And that's one of the problems is people fail to open their mouth and speak what the Holy Spirit gives as utterance. So here, this was a supernatural discerning of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is not tongues of fire, but he was manifested in that way. Now, it is tremendously important that we learn to discern the Holy Spirit, especially when we meet together as believers, as we come together for corporate worship, as we come together as church, as we assemble together as the body of Christ. It's tremendously important that we learn to discern the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves, we must discern through whom He moves and how He moves. And we must be in a position to recognize Him. Otherwise, what will happen? Otherwise, we will often miss what God is doing in a meeting. A certain manifestation of the Holy Spirit may just move in. For example, the spirit of healing may just move into a place and just take over. Almost anybody could be healed at that time. And anybody could pray for someone and he would be healed. Groups of people all praying at one time and people getting healed. Because the Holy Spirit, the spirit of healing has moved in. Another time it may be the spirit of miracles moving in. And miracles take place. Now let me ask you, what's the difference between a healing and a miracle? What's the difference between healing and miracle? Miracles happen. Miracle means it happens instantly. Alright? Healing is, let's say you come for healing, you come forward for prayer for healing, and we pray for healing, the healing has begun. Because He has said in His word, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's God's word. According to God's word, the healing has begun. By His wounds you are healed. That's God's word. The healing has begun. When we take Him at His word and we pray, healing has begun. But what must you do? You don't see the healing take place immediately. So what do? Oh, pastor prayed, it didn't work. You know what you've done? You pull the plug out. When you pull the plug out, don't expect healing to take place. What do you do to keep the plug in? Thank you, Lord, for you are my healer. Thank you, by your wounds I am healed. You begin to praise and thank God for what He has begun to do in your life. You keep the plug in. At one point of time, healing takes place. Miracle means it happens instantly. Alright, that's the difference between healing and miracles. Alright, unless we discern the Holy Spirit in these ways, whether it be healing or whether it be miracles, we'll miss out. We'll miss so much of what God wants to do. You know, our human agenda is sometimes an obstacle. For example, our human agenda during a church service is to sing 4 songs or 5 songs, right? And we sing a hymn. And then we have a chorus, and then we have the sermon, then we have communion, and then we give the announcements, and then we have prayer, and then we have the benediction, and everybody goes in peace. Now there's nothing wrong at all with all of that. Yet, what if in the middle of all this, the Holy Spirit of God moves in, and it was a time of healing. If we ignore Him, we will miss the healing He wants to give. Remember Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, the blind man, he was begging by the side of the road when he heard a crowd of people, and he asked, what is happening? And he was told, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Passing by. He knew immediately, this is it. It is now or never. And he did not let anybody's program stop him from getting to the Lord. Oh, they tried hard to stop him. But you couldn't stop a man like Bartimaeus. He knew it was now
or never. Mark chapter 10 verses 46 to 52. Let's just read that. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him. Jesus stood still, I like that. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. Sudden tone of voice is changed. They first said, shut up. And now he said, hey, come, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What a question to ask a blind man. But you see, Jesus has this way of pulling faith out of us, drawing faith out of us from a deep well. He just brings it out. That's Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. You know, there's only one place other than this in the whole of the New Testament when Rabboni is mentioned. That's when Mary Magdalene. And she says, Rabboni. Master. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now similarly, there are times in our meetings when we come together that we must recognize, it is the moment to receive. We have to discern the Holy Spirit and be willing to let our human plans, our own agendas and our own ideas and preconceptions take a backseat. Or what will happen? We will miss out on what God has to give for us. When Bartimaeus wanted to be healed, all the people who knew about religious protocol, they said, stop, don't make a noise, don't disturb Jesus, he's too busy. And there will, let me say this, there will always be people with their religious protocol who say, you must not conduct yourself differently from the way things have always been. Don't rock the boat. But listen, if you want what God has for you, you have to do it when God says do it. Now, apparently, it was the Holy Spirit of God that led King David, a mighty man of valor. And what did he do? He was dancing in front of the Ark of the Covenant with all his might. Apparently, the work of the Holy Spirit. And his wife, Michal, met him afterward, and she had this religious protocol. In effect, she said, you made a spectacle of yourself, King of Israel, you made a spectacle of yourself dancing in front of all those maidservants. What did David say? David answered, I wasn't dancing in front of the maidservants. In effect, that's what he was saying. I was dancing in front of the Lord, and I will make even more of a spectacle of myself than that if the Lord tells me to do. You know what the Bible says? We read that Michal, the critic, never bore a child because she despised David in this way. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verses 14 to 16 and 2 Samuel chapter 6 verses 20 to 23. Similarly, a critical spirit that refuses what the Holy Spirit is doing makes people spiritually barren. That's very dangerous. When you refuse what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, you know what happens? You begin to have a critical spirit towards everything, especially to the work of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? You'll never receive. Never receive. You become spiritually barren. Therefore, if that has happened in your life, please repent. Please repent. Because God is merciful. He's tender-hearted. He desires to bless us with His gifts. And we have to be open to the Holy Spirit and His working among us. The Bible speaks about the next discerning angels. We saw discerning the Holy Spirit. Let's look at discerning angels. Ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus said to Nathanael, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." John chapter 1 verse 50 and 51. So this is a reference to the discerning of angels. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus himself discerned the presence of God's angels. Near the end of his ministry, just before he was arrested and crucified, Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he prayed in agony, the Bible says, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Luke chapter 22 verse 43. It seems very clear from this account, Jesus was the only one who saw that angel through spiritual discernment. Others were there, but they did not see the angel. Then at the resurrection, after Jesus was resurrected, Mary Magdalene saw the angels. She saw the angels that neither John nor the Apostle Peter could see. Both of them couldn't see. Peter and John couldn't see, but Mary saw. Let's look at the passage. John chapter 20 verses 1 to 12. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, John." Although John has kept that, I just put it in there. So you know it's John, the other disciple, "whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together." They had a 100 meter dash, maybe 500 meters, I don't know. They both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, the same tomb that Peter and John looked into. And she saw two angels. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. All Peter and John saw were the linen cloths and the handkerchief. And they went back home, the Bible says. They did not see the angels, but Mary did. She saw the angels through spiritual discernment. Then we see, on a dangerous journey at sea, in the book of Acts, we read about Paul being transported as a prisoner on a ship. He's going towards Rome. And the ship was exceedingly tempest-tossed, says the Bible. Acts chapter 27 verse 18. And the ship was about to be wrecked on the island of Malta. And what happens? Paul stood up in the middle of the storm and told the rest of the people on board, "I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" Acts chapter 27 verses 22 to 26. The only person in that ship who was aware of the angel was the Apostle Paul. And the angel's words were confirmed to be 100% accurate. Now, number three, we come to discerning human spirits. Holy Spirit, angels, human spirits. Let's take the narrative of Jesus meeting Nathanael. Now, in connection with the word of knowledge we've looked at earlier, we've already looked at Jesus' supernatural revelation of Nathanael. But let's now return back to that passage to see an example of the discerning of human spirits. In John chapter 1 verse 47 we read, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." John 1:47. So Jesus discerned a guileless spirit in Nathanael. Now Jesus is not referring to a spirit other than Nathanael's spirit. He is not referring to a spirit other than Nathanael's spirit. He is referring to Nathanael's own human spirit. Now let's look at what the scripture says about Jesus in the second chapter of John. John chapter 2 verses 23 to 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. John chapter 2 verse 23 to 25. You see, Jesus was not deceived by people. He could see the invisible, the real man inside the outer man. The rest of the disciples accepted Judas, and they had no idea that he would be the one to betray Jesus. But Jesus saw this. From the beginning, Jesus saw this, he knew this, and yet he made him an apostle because he was following his father's plans, his father's purposes. Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 64, "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." Then we see Peter and Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, Peter exercised the gift of discernment in dealing with Simon the sorcerer. Now Simon had long dominated the city of Samaria with his witchcraft and sorcery. And when he heard Philip preaching the gospel, I love the way Philip preached the gospel. You know, he had no organizing committee. He had no worship team. He just went there and preached the gospel. That's it. Led by the Holy Spirit. I think he's probably the one in the New Testament where you find, you know, exactly what happens in Mark chapter 16. You know, demons are cast out, they lay hands, sick are healed. All of that you find in Philip's ministry. Anyway, let's move forward. When he heard Philip, Simon hears Philip preaching the gospel, he sees the miracles and signs that were done, and Simon was baptized and in a sense became a disciple. Then John and Peter came down and prayed for the converts, and they received the Holy Spirit with manifest evidence of power through the laying on of the hands of the apostles. Acts chapter 8 verses 18 to 23. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Acts chapter 8 verse 18 to 23. So Peter saw through the outward conformity of Simon to the inward crookedness and the wrong motives inside Simon's heart. Peter saw that. Apparently Philip had not seen that. Philip had not previously seen through Simon while Simon was there. But Peter saw. He saw a revelation of the inner nature of Simon the sorcerer that was given to Peter. He saw what was inside of Simon. Then we see Paul and the faith of the crippled man in Acts chapter 14. This is a wonderful passage. And we have here an example of Paul discerning faith in a man who was crippled. He discerns faith in a man who was crippled. Acts chapter 14 verse 8 to 10. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Acts 14 verse 8 to 10. Paul was in the middle of speaking to what was probably a large congregation, and then he looked at this one man in that congregation and he saw faith in that man. And he stopped in the middle of his message and he said, "Stand up straight on your feet." The man responded in faith and he began to walk. Now this was not an instant, this was not an instance of Paul discerning the Holy Spirit or the working of evil spirits. This was an incident when Paul perceived the spirit of belief, the spirit of faith in a man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13, Paul speaks about the spirit of faith. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. So Paul perceived this spirit of faith in the crippled man, who then received healing. Now we come to number 4. Discerning evil spirits. Let's look at the scriptures. In the ministry of Jesus, this gift was frequently used. And it was frequently used in connection with healing. It's quite remarkable how often physical sickness in the gospel is attributed to evil spirits. In the gospels we see muteness and deafness caused by evil spirits. The first example is Jesus healing a man who was mute. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." Matthew 9, 32 and 33. So Jesus discerned that the man's inability to speak was caused by an evil spirit that prevented him from using his vocal cords. So when he cast out the evil spirit, the man immediately spoke. Now, this is not to suggest evil spirits cause all muteness. But in this case, an evil spirit was behind it, and Jesus discerned that. Now these things are very real. They are very, very real. But again, I do not suggest for a moment that all dumbness or all deafness is caused by evil spirits. Yet, we must be able to discern when they are caused by evil spirits. There's a similar example in the 12th chapter of Matthew. "Then one was brought to him who was demon possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, 'Could this be the son of David?'" Matthew 12 verse 22 and 23. So it's clear from the context that Jesus healed this man by casting out an evil spirit that was causing his blindness and muteness. You see, a blind spirit can come, it can come in and produce blindness over a period of time. My wife, being an ophthalmologist, can sure testify that in spite of trying to find out what is the reason for this blindness, medical science cannot. In certain cases, cannot. They just don't know why. So a blind spirit can come in and produce blindness over a period of time, just as a deaf spirit can come in and produce deafness. It doesn't immediately produce a total deafness, but the deafness will follow, because it is a product of what that spirit does. And mind you, they can be dormant for quite some time. They can come and be dormant for quite a while, and then suddenly it happens. A spirit that cripples, I've seen that in so many. a spirit that cripples. It can just come into a person, it can cause the person to be crippled for life, bedridden, not able to walk. I've seen this happen in two very specific cases, and for sure it's nothing but a spirit that cripples. So this is why it is so important for Christian believers to realize that we have to identify the evil spirits we cast out. The scripture says the devil is a murderer, and a murderer is one who kills physically. He strikes the body, he kills the body. The devil will do this. If we let him, yes, he will. He's ruthless, he's unscrupulous, he's cruel. He is the cruel enemy, and we have to understand what we are dealing with. Now, a further example may be seen in the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 9, verses 17 to 29. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid." The signs of a spirit, I would not use the word possession, because possession means ownership. Very, very, very rare. I'll say demonized. A spirit comes in and takes control of the personality, takes control of even the human body. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation." In other words, you better get to doing these things. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. All right, church, let's get up. Let's wake up. He's telling us, you better get to doing these things. Otherwise, he'll call us the saying, "You faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. That's what happens when the evil spirit recognizes the Holy Spirit. Oh, in Malayalam they say, "Elagum, elagum." And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been? How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him," mark those words, "from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Mark 9, verses 17 to 29. And I believe that's very, very important, because you can't do these things unless and until your dependence is entirely on God. That's why he says prayer and fasting, because fasting causes us to depend entirely on the Lord. You're not depending on any human strength. Now we should note several important truths here revealed in this passage. First, Jesus did not tell the man, "This is too hard," or "This condition is the will of God for your son." He never said that. Instead, he said, "Bring him to me." And this was Jesus' attitude about every single case of sickness. And this is the same attitude today. Remember, God hates sin and we must hate sin. God hates sickness and we must hate it. Just as God hates it, must fight it. Just as God fights it. That's why he came. That's why he shed his blood on the cross. That's why the Bible says, by his wounds we are healed. Not for some, you know, he didn't leave glory for some, you know, simple reason. He left glory to deliver us from the powers of darkness, from the evil one, from the clutches of sin and Satan, to release us, to deliver us. That's why he came. That's why he shed his blood on the cross. So this is the attitude to every case of sickness. Bring him to me. For example, when the centurion said, I have a sick servant at home, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Matthew 8 verse 5 to 13, Luke chapter 7 verse 2 to 10. There never was a question about the will of Jesus to heal and deliver. Never. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And so, we must understand his willingness to heal and deliver today, just as he did when he walked upon the face of the earth. Next, we need to note that the boy's father told Jesus that the evil spirit throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. Now from this description, most people would say that the boy had epilepsy. You take him to a doctor today, the doctor would say, this is a case of epilepsy. But there was something else happening. Something else happening that needed to be discerned. And Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he answered, from childhood. Now, listen carefully. Childhood experiences are often crucial in tracing the origin and entrance of a demon. For example, it could just be a spirit of rejection. Alright? I'm talking about emotional spirits. Alright, just a spirit of rejection. In so many cases I've seen this. And recently I was talking to a mom, and she was telling me, my son feels rejected. He's doing extremely well in his studies, but he feels rejected. And I asked her, were you rejected when you were a child? And then she told me, yes, my mother rejected me. She was fair, I was born black, and she just rejected me. And that spirit of rejection had come into this mother. And I said, what happened when this son was born? Son was born late. They had two children earlier and the son was born 12 years later. What happened? You know what she said? I didn't want the son. I didn't want this boy. When a mother says something like that, you can be sure a spirit of rejection has already entered the womb. Child in the womb. And I told her, you need to renounce that. Repent and renounce that spirit of rejection that entered into your life through your mother has now entered into your son, and that's why he feels rejected. Unless you repent, you're not going to be delivered, neither is he going to be delivered. She was willing to repent. So childhood experiences are often crucial in tracing the origin and entrance of a demon. The man told Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Look at Jesus' response. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You see, he just puts the responsibility right back to the Father. Now, many Christian believers do not recognize the spiritual responsibilities of parenthood. We are responsible to have faith for our children. Jesus did not say, if your son can believe. Jesus said, in effect, if you believe, your son can be healed. In Matthew chapter 15, there was a Syrophoenician woman. We have gone through that passage so many times, but we can come back to these passages because there's so many truths that we need to learn from here. The Syrophoenician woman who had a daughter who was grievously tormented by an evil spirit. And she had faith. She had faith for her daughter's healing. And Jesus tells her, O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Matthew 15 verse 28. You read the passage in Matthew chapter 15 verses 22 to 28. Now in the case of this man and his son, Jesus, the unclean spirit that had come in him, caused him to become an epileptic. Jesus rebuked that unclean spirit, saying, he said to that unclean spirit, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. Mark 9:25.
Jesus specifically called the evil spirit a deaf and dumb spirit. And when the spirit came out, the epilepsy ceased. Now this may sound controversial, because there was an advertisement on Sahodar and Ayyappan Road from Medical Trust Hospital that epilepsy has got nothing to do with demons. I don't know where that came from. They don't know their Bibles. No wonder. So it might sound controversial, but epilepsy can be caused by an evil spirit. We have to discern and learn how to deal with evil spirits that cause sicknesses. Now let's look at a crippling condition caused by an evil spirit. This is a spirit of infirmity. Plagued the woman for 18 years. We read in the Gospel of Luke, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, you see the religious protocol, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound." Watch those words. "Whom Satan has bound," think of it, "for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Luke 13, verses 11 to 17. So what caused the woman's physical problem? A spirit of infirmity. And Jesus said that Satan had bound the woman for 18 years. Notice that she was healed immediately after she was released from the power of the evil spirit. The moment the spirit left her, she could straighten her back. And Jesus had to be able to discern the cause of her illness, to know how to deal with that illness. You see how important discernment is. Discernings of spirits. Finally, we look at a spirit of divination. Our final example, it's an incident that occurred when Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel in Philippi. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Acts 16, verses 16 to 18. Every word the girl said was absolutely true. And in fact, she was advertising the preachers of the gospel. But it was an evil spirit that was doing it through her. And Paul discerned this, and he cast the spirit out of her. So we must have the same kind of discernment today if we are to function as God's people, as God's church. And then we pray that prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are called to manifest the signs of his kingdom through us, his church. The world needs to see that God is present amidst us. Jehovah Shammah. That we are his people. We are called to be his kingdom post on earth. Called to reign as kings and priests on earth. So Paul discerned this, and he cast the spirit out of her. And we must have the same kind of discernment. You know, fortune telling demons are widespread.
Sad to say, even in the church at large, even in nice, respectable church congregations, you will encounter the demons of sorcery, witchcraft, and divination among people who are fooling around with horoscopes, Ouija boards, astrology, Jadagam, and they become hooked by the same demon of divination. Alright, let's now conclude. And I think I'm on time. Praise God. Let's conclude the results of discerning of spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits is very important to the functioning of the body of Christ. What are the results? Number one, believers recognizing the presence of the Holy Spirit and the ways in which God is working. So important for us. So important for us. Number two, it reveals the character and motivations of human hearts. Number three, it identifies when evil spirits are the cause of sickness and strife. So when the gift of discernings of spirits is operating on a full scale in the body of Christ, it will bring remarkable ministry to the church and to the world. And people will be delivered from the hands, from the clutches of sin and Satan, and be brought into God's marvelous light, out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And that's what we are called to do as God's emissaries on planet Earth, as long as we live. That's how we run the race. Right? We run with a goal. We run with a purpose. Let's not play church. Let's begin to take these things seriously, because God desires to use this, His church. The one promise that the Lord gave me with regard to this church: fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom signs, I believe, will be manifested in and through this church. I believe God will do it because He loves this church. The very fact that this church exists, He hasn't removed the lampstand. Right? He hasn't removed the lampstand. The church still exists. And I believe God will use this church to fulfill His purpose in this world. And He has said, I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So this is God's promise. When discerning of spirits is operating, therefore, in full scale in the body of Christ, there will be tremendous blessing. Like Brother Christie preached last Sunday. I can't get over that sermon. From brokenness to blessing. We are a broken people, isn't it? We are all a broken people. And unless we come to the Lord with that brokenness and say, Lord, I need you, help me, it's only then that God can step in. It's only then that He can take that brokenness and bless us, and also make us a channel of His blessing. Remember, who was the first one to see Jesus after Jesus rose again from the dead? I think I've asked you the question. Mary Magdalene. And how many demons did Jesus drive out of her? Seven. Broken, but blessed. Broken, but blessed. What is it that you're going through? I don't know. But if you desire to be used by God to fulfill His kingdom purposes, God so much more desires to use you. If you just give in an inch and say, Lord, here I am. Like Isaiah said, here I am, send me. If you're willing to just say that, here I am, do through me what you desire, what you have purposed. You know, God will just take you, hold you by your hand, and fulfill His purposes in and through you. He's already actually bestowed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
All you need to do is start receiving. That's all. That's all you need to do. You know, that's your inheritance because you are in Christ. That's our spiritual inheritance because we are in Christ. But our problem is we don't know what is there in our bank, right? We don't know our bank balance. Right? Just imagine that if you are a millionaire, if you are entitled to an inheritance from your father, father from your parents, and you become a millionaire or a billionaire overnight. Right? And just imagine if you don't know what's in your account. That's the condition of many Christian believers today. And sad, but that need not be. What must we do? Cry out to God. If any man thirst, Jesus said, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, which had not been given as yet. But not after Acts chapter 2. Not after Acts chapter 2. What must we therefore do? We'll see. Shall we just rise up and pray and seek? Yes, some of you are praying for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believe you are seeking the Lord for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I would suggest that you start receiving. You know, receive by faith the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Remember, I told you that that the word for Spirit in the Old Testament, it is Ruach, Spirit. In the New Testament, it is Pneuma, right? And it means wind. Actually means wind. When you breathe, you're breathing in air, right? Right? You're inhaling it, right? The Holy Spirit is compared to wind. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit manifests himself through the gifts. He gives you. What must you do? Receive. How? By faith. Right? When you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the scriptural evidence of speaking in tongues, what happens? He gives you utterance. What does he give you? He gives you utterance. But who must do the speaking? You must do the speaking. How? By faith. That's it. So, no, I don't want to be foolish. What is coming out of my mouth? Please, what is it that you want? To be blessed by God? Or to, you know, be inhibited because of what other people are looking at you and saying? Please be like Bartimaeus. Please be like Bartimaeus and just receive what Jesus wants to give you. What is it that you want? That's what Jesus told Bartimaeus. What is it that you want? And if you're wanting the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, He is so much more willing to give you. All that you need to do is receive. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Can you give me the other mic? Yeah. Stuti, can you play on the... We'll just spend some time in worship. Worship the Lord in the language of your choice. Worship brings in the manifest presence of God.